This episode and every episode of the Beer Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Ironmonger Brewing. Visit Ironmonger at their taproom in Marietta, Georgia, or online at ironmongerbrewing.com.
Open up a tab, grab a seat, and pour a pint. It's time for the Beer Guys Radio Show.
You want free beer? Go to the brewery.
Dedicated to the art, science, and enjoyment of craft beer.
Yo, what's wrong with the beer we got?
Now, here are your hosts, Tim Dennis and Brian Hewitt.
Welcome to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We are broadcasting from the Beer Guys Radio Studios in Marietta, Georgia. This week, we're talking with foam brewers. I'm Tim Dennis, and with me, as always, is my good friend and wizard, Brian
That's
Hewitt.
That's right. It's me, Tim the Wizard. Joining us today, we have Robert Grimm, the head brewer and co-founder of Foam Brewers. We're going to talk about IPAs, a big nomination for them, community engagement, and recent collaborations. Robert, thanks for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely, man. Good to talk to you. We're big fans of the beer up there in general, really. Foam Brewers and all that Vermont has to offer, not a bad place to be for beer, huh?
Good beer scene.
Yeah, absolutely. Some say it's the Mecca.
It is. We have so many invitations up there, and we've yet to take advantage of it. We can go up to the lager brewery. I can't believe it's escaping
Trap.
Me.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah.
Trap on the Lodge.
Yep.
Yeah.
So go up there
and
get around to lots of good beer. But
I mean, you may as well for the summer.
What's that?
You may as well wait for the summer.
Wait for the summer.
Right now.
Yeah, gotcha. What's the weather up your way right now?
Oh man, it's probably under 10 degrees.
Brutal.
It's supposed to get down to, I think on Saturday, it's supposed to get down to -11.
That's terrible.
Wow.
Horrible.
It's a little cold snap here. It was only like 56 today here.
It sounds horrible.
So we understand.
It's been rough.
Yeah. It has been rough.
We accept your thoughts and prayers.
Yes, Brian. We are currently drinking a Pilsner from Foam Brewers called Compact Disc. And a few years ago, I think Pilsner, Bob, I think this would have been an underrated style, don't you? Maybe just a few years ago?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I would say in a lot of ways it still is.
Yeah, I think, how is the Pilsner scene there now that I say that?
It's changing. I'm happy about it. I think that a lot of things in beer, kind of there's ebb and flow, a lot of things, just like fashion, you know, come into like fashion, I guess. After time, cyclical. And I'm happy to see that lagers coming back into vogue because I like drinking them. That's my go-to after a long day. And I think people are just starting to appreciate the simplicity of it, the ease of drinking a Pilsner, and just lager in general, I think, is coming back. But I think that we're probably going to get to that later.
Yeah, I think I'd agree, and I'm glad for it. I've been predicting for a few years now that it was the next big thing, and I knew that if I just keep predicting that year after year after year, that I'd eventually be right.
And as I said the last time you said that, a stop clock is right 2 times a day. So
then I can brag about being right about the trends.
Exactly.
But on that note, though, there are I saw something today from VinePair. They did an article where they talked to 15 brewers and asked them what the underrated beer styles were. So I know we always have opinions on things, Brian.
That's indeed kind of how we do it.
But Bob, what do you think a currently underrated beer style is?
Oh, man. I mean, I think that's kind of a tricky question because I think that people's preferences for beer styles in particular are pretty different depending on where you are. I bet that Vermont's preference, or an underrated style, I should say, in Vermont is probably totally different than where you guys are, or California, Colorado. You know, there's pockets of different preference, I think. Just, you know, traveling and, you know, a lot of friends in the industry doing collabs and stuff like that. It just seems like some places are, I don't know if it's ahead of the game or, you know, just people like different things. But I do think, going back to the lager conversation, I do think that lager in general as a whole is underrated. But again, I think it's coming back. And I think that I bet a lot of people on that list said something in the lager vein. I'm curious to see how obscure the beer styles are that they say are underrated. I know that we've always, at Foam here, we've always been big believers in the lager movement and just, you know, the classic styles in general. And you got to find the balance between what people are going to be drinking and what you respect and appreciate in a beer. And, you know, of course, the cliche thing, what I like to be drinking. So finding that balance is important. But I would say if anything came to mind, it would be just lager beer in general.
Okay. And that's, you know, talking about differences in different parts of the country. And I think there's always the discussion about like comparing America and Europe. And you'll have someone in England talk about, well, in America, so-and-so. But America's big. I mean, we're like all of Europe. So to compare us to one country or one pocket there, it's tough to do. Because when we talk about lagers, and I think everybody kind of thinks that their bubble of life is the norm, whatever's going on within their range of vision, so to speak. So
yeah, absolutely.
We've had a pretty good lager come up here, say the last 4 years, maybe?
Probably. Yeah.
And we have at least half a dozen or more breweries that's their focus. Mm. And, you know, halfway Crooks here, Arches was one of the early ones that did it. We've got
the Lager Lab Brewing. Wasn't that what they call it?
Yeah. And Good Word, they do a lot of styles, but a big, you know, a lot of lagers there. So here I just kind of thought, hey, lagers are catching on everywhere.
Well, also, I mean, my perspective, because of what you just said, is skewed. We're, you know, we're in Vermont. So that's right. The land of hoppy beer. And I mean, really only one brewery that comes to mind is what you mentioned before, Trap. They're the only brewery that seems to really have leaned into from the beginning, focusing on lagers in Vermont. Mm-hmm. And it is kind of interesting, but I have been seeing other breweries in Vermont kind of increasing the lager production and just varying. Like there's a lot more variety out there for lagers. It's not just Pilsners. There's dark lagers. There's smoked lagers, all sorts of things. But again, hoppy is still king in Vermont for sure.
Definitely. Well, I tell you what. So here's Vine Pair's list, and we'll share a link on this. I'm not going to go through who said what, but what was on the list was Hefeweizen, British Bitters, Brown Ales, which is wrong. They're not underrated. They're just not a good beer. Rock Beer, American Pale Ale, ESBs, Table Beer, Amber Ale, Helles Lager, IPLs, interesting one, a Bavarian Style Wheat, and Baltic Porters. Those were what the list said. So any thoughts on any of the
Bison? That's a good one. I feel like that is an underrated beer.
Yeah, that didn't used to be the case. Maybe it's just one of those that's outside of its cycle right now.
Right. Know, so. Exactly.
Hef and Amber used to be kings. They are no longer. They are poppers in the beer world for sure.
Amber Ale definitely used to be one that was that was there. You'd see that. Blondes.
We actually
Blondes
just
had their day. What's that?
We just brewed an Amber Ale for the first time ever.
See. Coming back.
And actually, that's one of the ones I think we're going to be getting into a little bit later. But
we will.
I think we're running close to being out of time. We need to get into beers of the week.
Beers, as I mentioned, from Foam Brewers, we're drinking Compact Disc right now, which is a Pilsner. We've also got Canvas, their Pale Ale. We got some other half beers. We had a little broccoli before the show, Brian, making sure to, you know, get our veggies there.
That's right.
And then we're going to have all 100,000 trillion everything.
Yes.
Which is a hazy tippa.
Yes,
Brian.
Indeed.
Tippa. Also, we're going to do a little comparison here, Brian, which got Twitter a little heated when you posted it over there. I have not done this yet, but you have both the New Belgium OG recipe, Fat Tire.
Yes.
As well as Fat Tire 2.0.
Correct.
So at some point, we will try those side by side and
see
what's up there. What do you think of that recipe change on Fat Tire?
It's an interesting move. I guess I wouldn't have expected that. I think that I always think it's a good thing to try to evolve and try to change things up if something's not working. I think the worst thing you could do is be stagnant. But, I mean, completely changing something that has been the bread and butter for ever is it's interesting. I'm curious to see how it's going to work out for him.
Yeah, I kind of thought the same thing, that it would be interesting to see. No doubt this was a very, very calculated move by New Belgium. It wasn't something they're just like, hey, let's do this. So did they do it? The name recognition there. Did they do it because the controversy and the chatter would promote the new recipe and bring it back up? You know,
it's kind of a genius move, because if it goes poorly and it's really strongly rejected, it drums up interest in the original brand, and they can go back to it and will have an inflated sales for at least a period of time afterwards.
They can new
and
coke
if it works,
Brian.
Yes. And if it works, exactly, they can new coke it. And if it works, then it just works, and all the controversy just gives them more. It's actually kind of genius. If it weren't a little on the dishonest side.
Sure.
Yeah, they have all the branded marketing assets. They just can swap it over, like you're saying. You know, it is pretty interesting. They have the flexibility.
Correct.
Because they've got guys like us and all kinds of other bloggers and tweeters and everything talking about it right now.
Absolutely.
Congrats, New Belgium. You're listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We do need to get us a break in here. but we will be right back with more from Foam Brewers.
Brian and Tim, the beer guys. If you're like us, no lunch or dinner is complete without a pint or two of craft beer.
Which is why Truck and Tap in downtown Woodstock, Alpharetta, and Duluth are always on our list. Tim, why do they call it Truck and Tap?
Well, the tap part is easy, Brian. They've got 18 of them.
As for the truck part, that's where it gets interesting. Truck and Tap features your favorite Atlanta area food trucks, so you're getting a different menu every day.
Truck and Tap in downtown Woodstock, Alpharetta, and Duluth.
Truckandtap.com. Let them know that the beer guys sent you.
On Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Shake it back!
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. Remember, all episodes are available on demand, so if you missed the broadcast, get the podcast. Beer Guys Radio is available on the Podcast Park and all popular and unpopular podcasting apps. Now let's get back to Foam Brewers.
Bob, we looked a little bit into your background. If I read correctly, found correctly, you were an R&D brewer for Switchback at one time. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, I was.
All right. So do you have a passion for the smoky beers, the smoky malts and such?
I would definitely not say that I have a passion for that.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. All right.
The hesitation there was telling.
That was all of that stuff happened after I left.
Okay. Gotcha.
The owner of Switchback. Well, previously, because Aesop now, he's really into German beers, and a lot of the stuff that came out after I left and a couple other people, they kind of gravitated toward the smoky avenue.
Ron Cherry,
Bill Cherry, not to be confused with Buck Cherry.
Right, I can't keep up with them all. I really can't, man. I really can't. But let's see, so. With that, how did you get into brewing? Was it through Switchback or?
No, it's kind of a long story, I guess, but I'll make it brief. Went to college for food science and human nutrition. And then I realized that, you know, the program I was in was kind of pushing people into working in a hospital and specifically in dietetics and stuff like that. And I remember specifically the moment that I realized I absolutely did not want to continue on that path. It was going into a dialysis lab, which I'm not a huge fan of blood and to begin with, and just wasn't for me. And I, at the same time, roughly, my dad got a homebrew kit for Father's Day or something, and did that with him, had a really great time. And it was cool because I was applying what I was learning in school to the process of fermentation and all that, and I fell in love with it. And then I started thinking I could probably... I want to make steps toward maybe going into this as a career. And so at the time, there weren't a lot of opportunities where I was going to college to get into the brewing industry. There was only one brewery in town, I believe. And this was Plattsburgh, New York, across the lake from Burlington here.
Okay, gotcha.
And so I went into the one brewery that was open and asked the guy if I could hang out and be an apprentice, I guess, and have an internship. And he was a little apprehensive at first. He was like, I'm a one man show. I've never done this before. He ended up saying, okay. And, I met a couple people on a homebrew forum at the time as well. And, linked up with them in town. We ended up forming a homebrew club in Plattsburgh called, North Country Homebrewers. And, it was just a couple of dorky guys like myself getting together and talking about beer. And, it ended up growing into like 50 or 60 people by the time I left. And I was also doing the apprenticeship at the brew pub, 7-barrel brew house. It was like an old school DME copper, showcase kind of.
Oh yeah. Right.
But just, a small setup and they weren't really, they didn't have enough people coming in to have a lot of turnover on beers, but it was a great place to learn, kind of get shown the ropes on things. The guy that I learned from originally, Jay Stoyanov, he went to UNH for biology. So he's a science minded guy, which I appreciated. And he explained things in a way that totally made sense to me. And he said something to me at the time that was very impactful. He was like, here, clean the tanks, scrub the floors, essentially do all the work. for two reasons, because he didn't want to do it, obviously. And the other reason, he told me he wanted to take the romanticism away from brewing. And if I still wanted to do it after that, then I should pursue it. And,
And
I loved that. And I loved all that physical labor part of it. I like working with my hands and like figuring problems out and everything that is involved in making beer. And so he was a huge part of my start in my introduction to like commercial beer making. And then came over to Burlington, did a tour of all the breweries over here. And I saw that Switchback was going to be hiring. They were kind of scaling up. At this time, they were just draft only in Vermont, and they were getting a bottling line. So anyway, got hired straight out of college, started flipping kegs, you know, filling kegs on the keg line for way too long. And eventually worked my way up to the R&D brewer where we were doing all the new stuff. And I got to work side by side with a gentleman named Todd Hare. And he previously, before he was a Switchback, was the brewmaster at Magic Hat for 13 years. And when Magic Hat kind of, you know, sold to NAB at the time, a little bit before that, he wanted to change a pace, I guess you could say. So he went to the local brewery, which was Switchback. That's how he started there, a year before he hired me and one of my now partners, Sam Keen, as well. Same time, went to school randomly for about like roughly the same thing. And anyway, you know, the R&D pilot brews, I guess, with Todd was a great experience to, you know, get to know him and learn from someone that's been there. You know, Magic Hat was a really cool brewery back in the day that was doing some really cutting edge things in a lot of ways. Very creative. And I learned a real lot from that guy. And then Sam and I, we were, you know, talking about starting, you know, writing a business plan and starting a brewery. And we wanted to invite Todd to be a part of it right from the beginning. And so we introduced it to him. And, you know, thinking back, it's kind of insane because he's just a head kid at the time. And somehow convinced him to come on board. So the three of us are who got Foam kind of up and running. And then we asked two other people to be partners, John Farmer and Dan Casey, and to do the, you know, the stuff that wasn't brewing. So we need like HR, bookkeeping, marketing, and all that stuff. And so, but that's why Foam is called Foam Brewers, is because it was started by three brewers. And that's where the passion lies. And I wanted to make it a part of our identity that this is, we're in it for the beer.
So, you know what? That's probably a good time to segue. Beer Foam has been a hot topic. Brian, you found a review that commented on Foam's phone.
So I was looking around, and this kind of ties into a little bit of our conversations at the Cascale tasting as well earlier. But in the review, it said, quote, "My glass was not filled, so that was a bummer. Too much foam at Foam Brewers, I take it, as it was 4/5 full of beer." So I the idea that you have to get a boss pour every time is such a weird thing to me. Like,
yeah, the ice cream
no
pour.
Head.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. The Iceman pour. Yes. The boss pour.
I feel like where you are, there would be more people educated to a proper pour, but do you still get a lot of people that want that filled to the brim?
I wouldn't say it's a lot of people. And just to backtrack a little bit, when we opened up our logo, you know, the, not the Foam Brewer script, but the glass, that's the Bristol glass. And that's kind of identity of like the hoppy beer. And so we decided we wanted to have people really experience drinking a beer. And so we decided from the beginning, we weren't going to do flights, which really upset a lot of people in the beginning, because it was essentially the standard here to have the option for flights, try everything, you know. But when you're like banging through flights, in my opinion, of course, you're not really experiencing, you know, the beer that you're drinking. You have to, Todd has a saying, three sips to enlightenment. And you have to kind of sit there and really like think about what you're drinking. Otherwise you're chasing the other beer that you just slugged down, the 1 ounce of it. So it's a 16-ounce glass with eight and a 12-ounce pour line. And so you can buy a 12 ounce or an 8 ounce, and you fill the beer level to that line. And then the rest is the foam. So really you're actually getting a deal, because you're paying for, let's say, 12 ounces. But as we all know, foam is 30% beer. And so And of course, who wants a flabby looking beer? Right? Foam is an important part of the aesthetics.
Gotta have it there, man.
Yeah.
You really do.
Well, and
gotta educate the world for those that still don't know.
And
a lot of people that say that. You know, we have a lot of people that come from out of state too, and
right, yeah,
all over the place, really. And so, I'm not saying that the people that complain about it are, but they're very, very far and few between at this point.
I figured.
There's a lot of flavor and aroma in that foam, believe it or not.
There is, Brian. You're right. We need to take a break. You're listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We'll be right back with more from Foam Brewers.
Have you visited Ironmonger Brewing recently? Take a trip and see the newly renovated and spacious tap room, or enjoy the outdoors in their new beer garden with plenty of seating and shade to ease that summer sun. Ironmonger's tap room has a variety of craft beer and hard seltzer on tap, with wine and spirits coming soon. Ready for a bit of adventure? Try out axe throwing with Ironmonger's 16 target range. It's the perfect spot for some quick fun or to host your next party or corporate event. So grab your friends and have some fun today at Ironmonger Brewing.
Follow the Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Your revolution is over, Mr. Lebowski. Condolences, the bum's lost.
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. I want to give a quick shout out to one of our great radio affiliates, KVTA News Talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM in Ventura, California. Catch Beer Guys Radio on KVTA every Saturday at 12 AM. That's midnight. Now let's get back to Foam Brewers.
Brian dropping the knowledge.
Right?
Always good to know these things. Bob, if you're watching the calendar, you will probably notice that it is no longer January. So, you know, we had a lot of people. I saw several people online going for it this year. The dry January.
Yeah.
Dry January. Have you ever tried that, or did anyone at the brewery give dry January a shot?
Actually, yeah, a surprising amount of people tried it, and some of them were successful.
Okay.
But, you know, there's a lot of exceptions around here. It's like, oh, I had to taste the beer. I had to, so I could talk about it, you know, whatever. I get it. But I think it's good to take a break every once in a while, probably for, you know, your liver purposes and such. But I don't think that it's good to like have restrictions like that. I think like, you know, it just makes you want to go harder into it when you get back. It's like, you know, the dieting and stuff like that. It's like, you know, there's benefit to it within reason, but I mean, it's not for me.
I see that. And I actually saw some medical professionals, you know, saying similar things, that you don't want to go a month. They're like, yes, it's better than binge drinking for a month, but we didn't try and fool ourselves, Bob. We did moist January, damp January.
Yeah. Right.
So that's Brian's was a little damper than mine, I think, but
probably.
we enjoy trying the non-alcoholic beers there. You know, we're all about beers of all kinds, and we followed athletics since their young days and what they're doing. And we've tried the NA spirits, and we found one. Nate found us a Liars, what do they call it? Italian spritz or something like that. That makes a nice kind of a gin and tonic-y, or a, what's your cocktail? That's
it's kind of like a good Negroni or an Aperol spritz type of thing. Non-alcoholic.
Oh, right.
They've done a really good job with that.
I just saw that. I think, what was the brand of that one?
Liars.
Yeah, I tried it. I saw someone reviewing it or something, like a clip of it, but it sounded like it was pretty good. I love a good Negroni.
Liars is a pretty quality brand, and I say that because we've tried a lot of them, and the NA beer is doing pretty good. There's some really good options out there. NA spirits, there's still a little work to be done there, but
there's a big difference. Like a beer, I feel like, is you know, an everyday, potentially all day thing, you know, for some people. But like a cocktail, that's, you know, that's a next level thing. Like you're going into a cocktail for a reason.
Right. Right. And that's, you did an old fashioned with old fashioned with an NA bourbon, NA whiskey. It's just not quite there. You know, right. it's the one that you did that was kind of the Negroni or the fake gin and tonic. I could drink that and wouldn't be disappointed if I was in the mood for a gin and tonic at the time.
Yeah.
If I was in the mood for an old fashioned and I did the one that we did, it would not do for an old fashioned for me. But
yeah. I mean, I just think I'm kind of in the mindset of, if you're going to be drinking something that doesn't have alcohol in it, for example, there's so many other non-alcoholic beverages out there that are awesome, you know, like
right.
whether you're into kombucha or, you know, even a soda. It's like, why wouldn't you just go to something that is like a better option flavor wise? Because who are you fooling? Yourself?
Man, sometimes you just want that crisp malty goodness with a little bit of hops and stuff there, you know? So yeah,
I mean,
you just need that.
I hear you. Yeah.
But you know,
I think
what?
A lot of people, the carbonation and the bite and various levels of carbonation sure. bite is kind of a big, I guess that's with some
if
of the cocktails.
Yeah,
but the
you
bite.
Just like of the taste of beer.
Yeah.
And you're trying to take it easy on alcohol. There's options there for you.
For sure. Basically. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Right. Sure. Yeah. So Bob, when we were on break, we made ourselves hungry here talking about chicken and wings and all this stuff, but, sort of food tangent here. You got a pretty big honor, a pretty big nomination here recently. And
yeah.
we were following these with a few, couple of our favorites here in Atlanta, but you are a James Beard Award semifinalist for your, let's see the official title of an outstanding wine and other beverages program, correct?
Yes, that is correct. Yeah. It was a very unexpected, nomination. And, yes, I mean, it still feels kind of surreal, but, I mean, again, it's just a nomination so far, but the nomination alone is an awesome recognition of a lot of the stuff that we've done leading up to this. And it kind of touches on some stuff that we've, I guess, struggled with talking about, because a lot of people use, you know, local ingredients or like do all of the things that we really like kind of made a foundation of who we are from the beginning. And it just feels sometimes a little bit difficult to talk about because we don't want to feel like we're just using it as a marketing scheme or like trying to sell a story that's not real. And it's only because of, you know, either past experiences or just seeing other people do that and just feel wrong. But like, that is who we are. And that's been something that we've been trying to work on. It's only, it doesn't do anyone justice if we don't tell the real story, you know, like, the farmers that we work with, it's good for that. It's good for everybody to hear that story and to know what's going on. Vermont agriculture is a really important thing. And there needs to be people that support that and understand what that means. And so long story short, I think that the nomination feels extra good because it kind of encompasses all of that. And of course, the definition of that nomination is heavily focused on like telling that story and, you know, the front of house, the amazing people that make up Foam. And it's not just focused on one person. It's a group effort. And I full-heartedly believe that is the case here. And so it's cool.
No, with that said, is this, does your beverage program go further than beer, or is this nomination specifically for your beer offerings?
We do actually go further than beer. We have House Fermentology, which is our, mixed culture, like sour beer program. And then, a lot of the flavor profiles of those beers have been inspired by the wine world. And I personally like drinking wine, especially natural wine. And, I think there's a lot of creativity in that world and a lot of interesting flavors that are not necessarily traditional, or like modernly traditional at least. And, so we tried our hand at making some natural wine. And we started a brand of Foam, I guess, if you will, called Natural Hack. And so we've released a few different wines now. We have a bottle conditioned Marquette red wine, bone dry. And it's kind of like a Lambrusco. So very jammy. Marquette by nature is jammy. But there's literally no sugar left in it. And has a nice zip with the carbonation for the people that like that. I know I do. We also have a apiary next to House Fermentology, where we introduce all of the honey into House Fermentology beers for the bottle conditioning process. And so we also did a sparkling mead with, you know, because of the honey connection, obviously.
Uh-huh, sure.
And, but it's not like the mead that you might expect. I think mead gets kind of a bad rap sometimes. You know, like the sweet, like overly boozy sweet ones. It's not necessarily our jam. We really like the highly carbonated, really dry stuff. And that's where we went with the mead. And then we ended up doing a blueberry table wine as well, 6%. And it's all of the sugar that went into that was from the blueberries, the wild Maine blueberries. So it's tart, it's funky, highly carbonated and dry. And so we're having fun with it and seeing where it goes. We're trying trying our hand at it, and just like with foam, we want to do the best we can and always strive for better. But we don't want to be the, you know, hoity-toity wine people either.
The easy to approach wine folks. You know, we had a festival here not long ago called Le Bon that was mixed firm beers, natural wines, and oysters. You know, that our friends over at Good Word put on, and that was a good time. We actually is it Crooked Run out of Virginia that does natural wines? I believe.
I think so. I think it's
part of their program is natural wines.
There were a couple in there. Yeah,
that was my first exposure to it. I really didn't know anything about natural wines, you know, until talking to them, and it's cool. I mean, it's
has a really cool history, cool. Like Georgian wine. You know, the amphoras, all of that stuff.
Oh yeah, awesome stuff. Listen to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We need to take us a break, but we will be right back with more from Foam Brewers.
Have you been to the Nest Kennesaw yet? Hi, I'm Adam, owner of the Nest in historic downtown Kennesaw, and I want to personally invite you to visit us. With the best damn barbecue in town, 48 taps of always rotating craft beers, a dog-friendly patio, all in two conjoined historical homes, we know there's something for you at the Nest Kennesaw. Find us at thenestkennesaw.com to start drooling over that menu, or go ahead and grab your friends, your family, or just yourself and come on in for a pint. The Nest Kennesaw, can't wait to have you at our table.
Twitter and Instagram.
Roger, roger. What's our vector, Victor?
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. If you enjoy the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/beerguys. Patrons get cool perks like Beer Guys swag and commercial-free episodes. Now we're getting back to Foam Brewers, and I'm going to launch right into something I want to talk about.
Go for it, Brian. Make it happen.
A recent collaboration of yours with the Women of Foam. I believe it's on an amber ale, which I think you teased was the first time you've ever brewed an amber ale. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't necessarily a collaboration because it was, all in-house. And it all started with this woman, Olivia. She was a student at Middlebury College in Vermont. And she had reached out last summer about a possible internship. And we hadn't ever really taken on any interns and took the leap and brought her on for the summer. So she got to experience what we're all about, all the brewing side of things and then all the grape harvest, everything. And she was one of two. We had another woman actually from UVM, University of Vermont, that was also interning with her that summer. And but Olivia had seemed to have a lot of interest in what we were doing and like the brewing side of things. So she asked if there was any opportunity to come on board in the future, and got that in the back of my mind for sure. And of course, the opportunity came up. So she is not only the first woman on the production team of Foam, but she is also an amazing leader in a lot of ways. And she seems to really just want to kind of take over the world, you know. One of those types of people. And so she was inspired to kind of unite all of the women of Foam, including my partner, Danny Casey, who is one of my partner, one of the women of Foam, the original partners by one of the five of us. And we have a lot of women just in general, front of house, our manager of Foam, Mackenzie, our GM of Deep City, Sarah, and they all got together and talked about what beer they wanted to do. So style, and they agreed it was going back and forth between a red ale and an amber ale. And I was kind of on the outskirts. I wasn't in the meeting, obviously, but like, oh man, that's it's going to be interesting. We've never done that before. And they landed on that. And it was an interesting thing because Olivia kind of took the reins. She led the whole team of women through the brew and they decided on everything that was going into the beer, the hopping, just pretty much the entire process. And it was pretty cool to see them successfully do that together. And I think the beer is fantastic, and it's something that I never would have necessarily approached myself. It's just not something that I would think that I was really into, but I think that they really nailed it. And it's cool that they're hosting meetings now. I think it's every month they're getting together. They had a lot of positive interaction because of that. From the outside, there's organizations in Vermont that reached out to Olivia and are trying to set up collaborations for women on that side. And it's an awesome thing. And it's cool to have the ability to have that platform to kind of raise up the women of Foam and do something that they all seemingly really appreciated. And we're
that
into
is, awesome.
That it's is very stuff. Cool. And it sounds like even though it was all internal, it really kind of was a collaboration because, I mean, they came up with it independently.
No, that's, not, sure, yeah. That's not how that works.
What's that?
If it's internal, it's not a collaboration.
I don't know.
Collaborative effort, maybe?
Pseudo-collaborative.
I you're saying, yeah,
you're stretching
it's a
here.
Yeah, like you said, it's a collaborative effort.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. It's between people who perhaps aren't usually involved in the production process.
Okay, I'll let you have that one.
Yeah.
That's fine.
It makes it even more interesting. And I think the style is inspired by the Negroni. Is that correct? And that's part of the reason I really like the
album. I don't think it was inspired. That was a flavor profile of it.
Okay. Gotcha.
There's a kind of like a bitter orange peel kind of, you know, there's a discernible bitterness, but not by no means is it overwhelming, but it's, you know, in the sea of soft beers, it's kind of nice to have something that is different in that vein. But again, yeah, they came up with all of the ingredients and process and everything like that. And then, named the beer, they voted on it and came up with the tasting notes and everything. So
sounds like cool. Something you'd dig, Brian.
It does sound like something for I would sure. enjoy. I like Absolutely. The amber ales and I do enjoy the bitterness.
Yeah.
So.
Fun.
And you know, orange peel. Yeah.
And what?
And the orange peel.
Like orange
the
peel, Negroni, all of
everything
it.
About
like
it.
All
yeah,
of it.
All
huh?
of it.
So Bob, we talked about all the brands that kind of fall under your umbrella right now, but you do have another that you're currently working on from the mind of Foam. I'll say that. But how do I pronounce this? Is it Tonic?
Yeah, that's
Tonic.
Exactly
Tonic.
Tonic.
And
yeah.
This is getting into a little herbals there, a little bit of cannabis.
Yeah. Yeah. So Todd, who I was talking about earlier, one of my partners in Foam, and I, a couple years ago, decided to grow some CBD hemp. We went through the process of certifying it organic, and it was supposed to be like a fun side project. It was a lot of work, and I don't mean that in a negative way. It was just it was hard work. I mean, farming is a difficult job, and it made me really appreciate the people that do that stuff very much so. But anyway, that led to a value added thing, which was the creation of a beverage company, a cannabis infused beverage company. So we started out, we launched this spring with CBD, full spectrum CBD infused sparkling teas. So we have a black tea, we have a green tea and a yerba mate, and they're all lightly sweetened with Vermont honey. And that ended up leading to applying for a THC manufacturing license in Vermont because it's legal here now. And there's a legal recreational market. So it's essentially the same thing there. You know, the water soluble CBD that goes into to those teas, you can do the same thing with THC. So we were just approved on Monday for our tier 3 manufacturing license, which is the highest level manufacturing license that you can get in the state. We're going to be doing some pretty cool things in my opinion, and we'll see how it goes, but it's been a wild ride. And looking forward to all of the fun creations that are going to be down the line.
I feel like THC beverages would be hard to like QC. Like, you wouldn't be able to have much, and you're just going to be like, dude, I can't do this anymore. Yeah. This is enough.
So, well, so many.
The fun part with having the ability, like, the flavor, flavor-wise, the CBD and THC water-soluble is exactly the same. So we can do the R&D without getting too loopy, I guess you could say.
You know what you're going to get when you put the THC in there, basically.
Exactly.
Right? Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's a cap on it. There's a cap in Vermont, too. Per serving, it's only 5 milligrams, so it's not a crazy amount.
Okay. That's, you know, most of the people I've talked to that have done the THC beverages, they're all using it to where they want it kind of just as a mellow, you know, it's I'm not looking to get just, you know, just chill.
I think the goal is, at least some were stating it, the goal is to replicate the effects of a 5% alcohol beer, basically, with the appropriate amount of THC or CBD or some mixture of the two. So I think I've seen it's generally like 5 to 10 milligrams, depending on how big you want it to be. And I think 5 is really common.
Yeah. A lot. Most are 5. We're going to be focusing on sessionable THC beverages. So even lower than that, you know, anywhere from 1 to 3, we're still going to obviously have the 5 and a plethora of other things as well. So keep your eye out. I think it's going to be a fun project.
Just chill. Good stuff. Bob, getting short on time here, but what else do you want? What's coming up from Foam? What do people need to keep an eye out for?
Oh man, there's always so much going on. I'm really excited about the summer coming up and just the excitement of all of that. Obviously, you know, the patios being open, looking over the lake here in Burlington at the Adirondacks. It's pretty grand and always exciting. We have in the summertime, again, we have Funk on the Water Beer Festival every year in the beginning of August. It's a mixed culture funky beer fest, and it's been evolving and growing every year. This past year was the best yet. It was awesome. We had 45 different breweries here, I believe, and poured through 160 different beers and natural wines. It's a pretty cool experience. We'll be posting information on that relatively soon. Yeah, who knows what the next big thing is going to be for us.
Who knows what's next. Bob, indeed. Thanks so much for joining us. We really enjoyed chatting with you.
Yeah, thank you guys very much. It's been fun.
Absolutely. Well, that about wraps it up for this episode of the Beer Guys Radio Show. Make sure to come back and join us next week for more craft beer info. Follow us online. We are Beer Guys Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great week. And don't forget to drink local. Cheers.